Self-respect cannot be hunted. It cannot be purchased. It is never for sale. It cannot be fabricated out of public relations. It comes to us when we're alone, in quiet moments, in quiet places, when we suddenly realize that knowing the good, we have done it. Knowing the beautiful, we have served it. Knowing the truth, we have spoken it. And it was said by Whitney Griswold. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. Getting a little tired of the quotes, folks. I may stop opening the show with a quote, and I may start opening it with a minute or two of acoustic guitar or something like that. Perhaps that would work a little bit better. Perhaps that would bring a little bit more positive energy into 2013 and take things back into more of an artistic flavour. Because I think that's what we need. I think people have to remember art in their lives. They have to remember that their art is their life and their life is their art. And I do believe it's important for people to realise this, that your life is your art. Who you are is your art. How you perceive reality, this is art. The way you express yourself, it all comes back to art, folks. Something that's really helped me to be able to achieve the things I have through life and to be able to bring the message that I bring to you even and make the films that I've made is because I tend to view the world from more of an artistic perspective than an intellectual perspective. It's just a more opened right brain way of thinking about things. But I think that the importance of art cannot be overstated, and I think it is a loss of art and a loss of experiencing and appreciating and living our own self and our own culture and our own uniqueness that has caused the world to degenerate into the situation that we have today. Of course, it's not all bad, folks. There's still a lot of good people and there's a lot of good things in the world today, and I'm not trying to diminish the importance of these things or diminish the value of any of these things. But generally speaking, when we look at the planet, it really is far from perfect at the moment. And I think that that is because we have moved ourselves so far into a left-brain, non-artistic way of looking at things and non-artistic way of interacting with reality. Because really our life is our art. And this can even be said by those who are in control and those who rule things, those who create all the wars and all the bad stuff that we see around us. This is also their art. And you can see this very clearly when you look at the world from an artistic perspective. This is the art that they make. It may not be art that actually serves anything that we could construe as good, but it is their art nonetheless. I've often heard the expression, the art of war, because war is an art. Sadism is an art. All of the bad things we see, this is an art. These people are very right-brained in many of the things that they do. In fact, it's just that they're very, very disconnected from source, and their art is basically extracting energy from others. And they're able to do this because, as a whole, most of society has forgotten their own art. So they don't look at things artistically, they don't really see what's being done to them because they're not able to look at the world artistically and holistically and really put things on a global stage. Or if they do put them on a global stage, they still tend to look at things from a left-brain perspective because that's what people are trained to do. And I think this is one of the big problems that we're facing overall is this loss of art, even in regards to our culture. Each particular nation that we see in the world, each has its respective culture, and this culture is essentially the art of the people, the collective art of that nation. But this has, through means of the system that's been imposed upon us, been reduced to patriotism. Therefore, culture has become patriotism, so this has seen a disconnection from art. You see, patriotism, if it were related to culture, which is what it should be a love of your culture, then it would be a celebration of art and a respect for the art of each nation. But patriotism in its modern form has been reduced to nationalism. patriotism in a nationalistic sense is essentially racism and dualism and divisionism. That's all it really is. And it is a very, very long way from the artistic culture of the nation. And I believe that's what we should be focusing on. That's what we've lost. That's what we should be focusing on as respective nations. And it's also what we need to be aware of in our day-to-day lives and our day-to-day activities and our day-to-day interactions with reality need to be looked at from a more artistic perspective. Well, that's my advice anyway, because all I can say is that it's certainly helped me in looking at the world this way anyway. And it's also helped me want to give more to people and to give more to society. And everything I do, folks, I do the things I do because I want to give. I want to change the world. I want to make my contribution to this planet count for something. I want my contribution to make a difference. I want to help this planet become a better place. I want to leave it in better condition than how I found it. That truly is my only motivation for doing what I do. I certainly don't do it for fame or fortune. I do it because I feel it needs to be done. And I think we have a real chance here to take things in a better direction. And we need to pay attention, folks, because those who are working to take us in one direction, in this transhumanist direction, this control grid that they're putting in place, they're working very hard to do it. And they're getting away with it because most people aren't paying attention. So we need to pay attention and we need to realize what the system is, and we need to start exerting our power and exerting ourselves a little bit and getting active and getting involved in our community, getting involved when things are happening and making a little bit of noise about what's going on and having meetings with our friends, at least sitting down for coffee with a few people and discussing things and maybe getting the word out to a few more people in that way as well and getting a little bit more involved. I may even begin the meetings, the Monday night meetings that I used to have around this area again, I think. I might get a few more people involved and we can sit down and have some discussion groups and just start spreading the word and start putting together think tanks where we can find workable means of approaching public officials and basically laying the cards on the table and saying, well, this is what's happening and this is the way we want it to go. And starting to let these people know that we have cottoned on to the fact that they're simply public trustees. I mean, if nothing else, it will simply let them know that we know, and I believe that some of these lower level politicians like mayors and local council members and all these sort of people, once they start seeing how things are going on a state level and on a national level, they'll begin to realize that they are in the same boat that we are and that their future is as precarious as ours is. And a lot of these people start breaking ranks. I really believe they will, because it does, folks. I mean, it does. It affects everybody. Unless you are one of the super elite, then what is happening to the world affects you and it affects your family. But we can still fix it. And that is why people have to get involved. And look, I know it's fun going down the rabbit hole in whichever respect. I mean, it depends on which rabbit hole you choose these days, folks. There's so many of them. There's the political rabbit hole, there's the conspiratorial rabbit hole, there's the free man and legal rabbit hole, there's so many rabbit holes. But in regard to the system, folks, as far as all the legal avenues and all of this sort of structured stuff goes and birth certificates and the Vatican system and the corporate system and the economic model and all of these things, what I've been attempting to bring to people is the concept that all of these things are actually fiction. And even if you go down one of these paths where you send back your birth certificate, you do all these things, you establish yourself as a free person, such as Robert Paget has done. And good on Robert Paget for doing what he's done, because he's shown the way of how you can do it, and he's shown you that the system is fiction. But now, having seen that, now that this man has done the work for you, and you can see that the system is fiction, the choice for you is not really to go down that path yourself and create an alternate country or an alternate society for yourself and free yourself from the system. The goal is to free everybody, to take the whole world with us, because the important thing you should take away from what people like Robert Paget have done is the fact that he's shown you the system is fiction. It only exists on paper. and it only has the power that we give it because we choose to give it that power. But if we can collectively give our power to ourselves and give our power to each other by respecting ourselves and respecting those around us, as a society, as a species itself, we can simply step away from the fiction. We can do it, but we have to respect ourselves in order to do it. We have to know ourselves, and we have to respect ourselves, and we have to respect those around us. And this is what I've really been attempting to bring to people on this show. Ever since day one, this has really been the message. And even when you look at the system, folks, the system is its own art. It's artistically put together. When you can look at it from a right brain, artistic perspective, you see that the system of enslavement, the system of economic enslavement and financial enslavement and social enslavement that society is subject to, is the art of its constructors. And it's gone so far now that it's virtually become its own mechanism, the system itself, that is. It's virtually become a creature with a mind of its own. And it's been designed to be this way. It's been created in a way whereby it is able to perpetuate itself simply by convincing people to operate within its parameters. I've done whole shows about this back in 2010, I think, where I was talking about how it's simply a meme and it continually works to make itself more efficient. And this is done by simply putting an economic mindset into the minds of the people who work within it. That's all you have to do. You have to train them what success is. Success is making your little part of the system more efficient, more profitable, using less manpower, making the system more efficient. So you work within those parameters, you make your workspace more efficient, and you improve company business, you get a promotion, you get rewards, and what you're doing really is making humanity more and more expendable, and you're tightening up all the loopholes in the system and making the system more and more efficient, until eventually we've just got a system that is self-perpetuating. And that's what's happening. And people simply need to look at it that way, because that's the way it is when you look at it artistically. If you really step back and you look at the system artistically, this is what you see. You see that it's a self-perpetuating organism, and it perpetuates itself through the energy that it gets from humanity. We are essentially its food, my friends. We are its life source. It cannot function without our belief that it is real and our participation in it. And so to me, that is the most important thing. And that's what we need to get across to people. Because even if you do go and establish your freedom, such as many people have done when they've disconnected from the system, it's all very well, but the problem is that the system is still there. And the system has control over a good deal, if not all, of this planet. And if we ignore it, if we turn our back on it and go and build an alternate society in the woods, then the system will destroy the planet that we live on. I mean, we may survive and think we're safe for a little while, but eventually the society that we've created will implode because we've allowed the world around us to implode by our choice to ignore it. That's why we cannot ignore what is going on. We need to pay attention, and we need to get involved in our community. That's what it all comes down to, folks. It all comes down to community, especially now with what is going on in America with this attack against the Second Amendment. And I believe, folks, that this Sandy Hook tragedy, I think this has been long planned, and I think that this is the most important thing that's happened in America since the 9/11 attacks. I really believe that this is an attack against the Second Amendment, and it is the big moment that they instigated in order to disarm the American people. And I tell you, folks, the more I look into this Sandy Hook case, the more holes I find in it. And I'm beginning to wonder if any children died at all. I think perhaps they just took Adam Lanza in there and shot him, and then perhaps went home and shot his mother, or perhaps vice versa. And I believe that they were probably going to involve Adam Lanza's brother in there as well, but he managed to start posting on Facebook and get his name out there before they could. But I think the whole thing's been a setup. I think there are so many actors involved in it, and I think it's a huge psyop, and I already discussed last week how I believe there are other psyops, such as the Well Aware One site, that have been put in place to build up to this particular event, I think. This is what it's all been leading to, folks. This is why all these disinformation sites have been set up. This is why the FEMA camps have been put there. This is why the Department of Homeland Security bought all the hollow points. This is what it's all about. And the people of America, I don't think, will stand for what the government is trying to do. I think there may indeed be a storm coming. But that storm can still go either way, because there is still enough of the American people who are willing to stand up for their rights. I really do believe this. Those who are wanting to implement these measures against the people are actually very small in number. It's just that the media makes it look like the whole nation is divided on the issue. They make it look like there's a lot of people who actually want guns banned, when really there isn't. It's just the politicians. The media can spin all of these stories, folks. Never ever believe a poll or an opinion that's given to you by the mainstream media, because they create the opinions themselves. All they have to do to create an opinion is to say that that's the way the people feel, and then the other people who don't feel that way will follow. People will just go the way they're told to go because they're told that everyone else is going that way. So the media is able to create a trend and tell you things are trending in a certain direction, even if the trend doesn't exist. That's what they do, and that's how they sway public opinion. They've just got to get the right anchor person up there to say the right thing in the right way and interview someone and do it and structure it in the right way, and suddenly everyone has got that opinion. So people are fed opinions by the television. Don't believe it, folks. Think for yourself and act in service to creation in all that you do. And think about what you're doing. If they're asking you to give up your guns, really, really think about what you're doing. Because you should not give up your guns, because the government should not be armed with any better weapons than what its citizenry has. If we allow this to happen, then we have seen in the past time and time again what happens to the citizenry of the country. We're only ever one generation away from tyranny, my friends. It only takes one generation to be negligent in their duty of care, and any nation, no matter how free it perceives itself to be, can lapse into tyranny. And this is what we are seeing in the United States. And so it's a very, very delicate time. But personally, I do not believe the American people will allow this to occur. I think we're going to see some huge changes this year, folks. And to be honest, I think it's all going to come out in a very, very positive way. I think that the world is about to change direction. And I think it's all going to be good if we pay attention and if we get involved. And that's the opportunity that we've got, because it comes down to us, folks. Ultimately, it really comes down to us. It's always come down to us. It's just that we very often don't pay attention. But of course, we're trained not to pay attention, aren't we? We're trained by the media. We're given all of this entertainment to preoccupy ourselves with. And we're always kept in a state of debt slavery and a state of manufactured scarcity in order that we are too distracted to really have the time to look into things, because we've always got to be keeping our nose to the grindstone and our wheels on the treadmill as a means of collecting the paper that we need in order to pay to be alive, because that's the way the system's constructed. So you can't really blame people for not paying attention. And again, really one of the big factors in this is that people have forgotten the art of their own life and the art of themselves, the art of living itself, because that's what your life is, folks. It's an artistic expression of the unique frequency of consciousness that is you. But very often we don't feel very unique, do we? We are always kept in a state where we're feeling a little bit inadequate or a little bit depressed about ourselves, or we're not quite measuring up to the yardsticks that society's provided for us. So they do all of these things to interfere with our psyche, to interfere with who we are. And of course, if we ever step outside of the lines, we get all these fines and problems and in trouble with the authorities for just living, basically. I mean, very often in what the government calls a crime, there is actually no victim. So therefore, no crime has actually been committed. And that's what the government does, folks. They create a system whereby people are kept in a manufactured state of scarcity, and it's completely artificial, and it's completely contrived, and it is completely manufactured. But that's the way people are kept. And if they get a little bit behind, or they step outside of the lines, or they don't pay some fictitious debt, then they get incarcerated, they get in trouble, they get fined more. And what we basically see here, folks, is a very clever system of what is essentially human trafficking. That's what the government does. They use you as a commodity. They are basically trafficking in human flesh. They've attached a financial value to everybody, and they are reaping the profits of their actions. That's what we have, basically, folks, is a global system of slavery. And it's not quite global yet, but they're trying to make it global. But that's certainly what we have in Western countries. We don't have freedom in Western countries, folks. We have the freedom to vote. People say, oh, look, there's certain countries where they don't get to vote. Wouldn't it be terrible to have no freedom like that? And we equate voting with freedom. And yet all we really get to vote for is one particular side of the same coin, which is already bought and paid for and serves a corporate agenda. And whichever side we vote for, the party line is still continued and the agenda still plods forward. The agenda towards globalism, Agenda 21, all of these sorts of things. So is this freedom? Is that what freedom is, getting to vote for a new dictator or a new corporate head, a new CEO every couple of years? Is that what people call freedom? Because it doesn't seem very free to me, folks. If you really think you live in a country where you're free, go and find a piece of forest somewhere and stake out a claim and build yourself an adobe home and set up a free energy device for yourself. Go and do it, folks, if you think you're free, and just let me know how you go with that. And once you find the amount of difficulty and trouble you will get in for trying to do something as simple as establish a nice place to live in a peaceful area and live your life as a peaceful inhabitant of your country, hurting nobody and doing service to creation in all that you do, try and do that and find the trouble that you get into for doing that, and then come back and we will discuss how free you actually think you are. Because you're not free. No one in Western countries is free. No one subject to a corporate system who has had money imposed upon them as a means of survival is free, especially if you live in a country where money has interest attached to it. Interest is one of the most insidious and immoral and sociopathic and self-serving concepts that whatever criminal mind thought it up ever came up with. It really is. Interest is designed to rape the planet, steal all the resources and dispossess its people. That is exactly what it was designed to do. And all one really has to do is look around them at the state of the world to see the truth in that statement. This is one of the reasons why I don't have any credit cards or anything like that, folks. One thing is I won't live off credit. I'll only live off what I've got. And I refuse to pay interest on anything. I just will not pay interest. And so I don't take out loans. I don't have anything to do with that system. I live my life day to day, because I refuse to pay interest and I refuse to comply with a corrupt system that main activity is human trafficking, because that's really what it is. The heads of our governments, folks, they're just basically CEOs of the people farm that is the country. And the people farm is used to impoverish the citizens, and it causes them to have to work to rape all the resources of the country in order to find the paper they need to survive. It's very, very cleverly contrived, folks, but by imposing this corporate model and this economic model over human psyche, that's what happens. The powers that be get the opportunity to rape the planet and to dispossess the people and to steal everything they can from the nation and from the people, because, as I've said so many times, the people are, in fact, the nation. It isn't the country, it isn't the logo, it isn't the name, it's you. You make up the nation that is your country, whatever country you happen to be in when you're listening to this. It is the people who hold the power. It is the people that is the nation. And it is the art of the people that needs to be celebrated. The art of the people that is important, because the art of the people is what makes that nation that nation. It isn't their flag. It isn't their military might. It isn't their economy. It isn't all of the fictional stuff that they give you to keep you in this state of division and duality and nationalism and racism. It's the art of the people. And that's what we need to get back. So you see, it all just depends on your perspective, folks. It all just depends on how you look at things. But really, if you step back and you look at the world on a global stage and you see each person as valid, then you begin to see how it all works. You begin to see how the system functions, how it operates, how much people are kept in a state of control, and you begin to see the remedy to the situation. Because it's a very simple remedy, folks, and it all comes back to the individual knowing who and what they are, changing their heart space, and then applying it to the world around them. That's the secret to the whole thing. That's the remedy, folks. That's the only place remedy will ever be found. We're not going to find it from within the parameters of a corporate system. We have to find the courage to find ourselves and thereby step above it. And look, I know I'm probably flogging a dead horse with this, folks. I've said it so many times, but when I look at the situation that we are in, when I look at what's going on in the United States and what the people are being fed by the media, it's just getting more and more out of control, folks. And if we don't do something, then we're going to find ourselves in a position that is completely untenable. We're going to find ourselves in a position where we are completely locked down and completely under control, and we are kept in that state through scarcity, economics, and fear. And that is unfortunately what is happening to the planet. But again, I still have hope for the future because I still believe that all of the problems and all of the tyranny and all of the corrupt legislation that we're facing, all of it is providing mankind with the opportunity we need to establish our freedom. We're not going to realize that we're not free until our slavery becomes apparent, and it is becoming apparent, and therefore people are able to see the remedy. And the remedy is to see the power that lies within your heart. But I think it's break time now, folks, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the show today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Now, for a long time, I've been saying that the December 2012 point that we've just reached and just transversed is, in fact, a tipping point, that it was going to represent a time of change. But I think it's also important to realize that it also represents a time of choice, a time when we are given a choice as to which way we choose to take the human race, which way we choose to take reality. I said this way back in 2008 in a film I made called The Big Picture, that what we would possibly see in December 2012 was the New World Order begin in earnest. And I believe that with the Sandy Hook shooting and the push to disarm America that has unfolded because of it, that this is exactly what we are seeing. It's become very clear that America has actually been taken over by a force from within. And I said this years ago as well, that it's important for the people of America to understand that there are domestic enemies who have usurped power in their country. Now, it's extremely important for the people of the United States to realize that this is what's going on. And they are really being assaulted from all directions, and every assault is an attack against the Constitution and against the basic principles that make America what it is. I mean, just recently we saw the hot potato exchange between Obama and Joe Biden on gun control. And from this exchange comes the possibility that Obama may well enact an executive order dealing with gun control, because by doing this, he bypasses Congress. And this is basically one man writing in the law and saying, that's it, because I said so, the entire country has to be disarmed. And this will start with automatic weapons, it'll move on to handguns, and eventually it will move on to virtually anything that people can use to defend themselves against government. But just the fact that Obama believes he can write an executive order which gives him the ability to override the Constitution and virtually eviscerate the Second Amendment. Well, folks, this is a dictatorship. And as far as I can see, I mean, people in Congress should be drafting the impeachment papers already. I mean, Obama has overstepped the mark, and he is committing treason against his nation. And since he was elected to office, folks, all he's done is eviscerate huge sections of the Constitution, and this attack against the Second Amendment and the disarming of the American people is really the pièce de résistance. This is what it's all been heading for, and it is treason, and it's important that the people within America act, and those politicians who still have an honest bone in their body should really be drafting papers for impeachment. And I would suggest that if you're an American citizen, if you live in America at all, you contact your local member and ask them if papers for impeachment are being drawn up due to this attack against the Second Amendment that we're seeing from the executive office in the United States. And it's important that people do this because even by doing this, you're letting the politicians know, that you're onto them, that you know what's coming. And if America does lapse into civil war, which is what the executive office wants, that's why they bought all the hollow points, that's why they put in all the FEMA camps, they've got everything in place to deal with civil war, folks. So if America does lapse into civil war, it's incredibly important that the people maintain their composure and always make sure they maintain the moral high ground. You really have to do this. You've got to act peacefully wherever possible. And if it comes down to the wire, you should only ever defend yourself. You cannot attack government, but you most certainly can defend yourself against it. And there's a big difference. And that's where the moral high ground lies. And the thing is, it can still be avoided. I mean, at this stage, it isn't too far gone. It almost is, but it isn't yet too far gone. And civil war can be avoided. It is possible for the people of the United States to peacefully stand to restore the Republic, as long as they make haste in doing so. It really does need to be done now. And you've got to be approaching your local members, you've got to be approaching your governors, your town mayors, your state representatives, the senators, the congressmen. You've got to be approaching all of these people now and telling them that you've drawn your line in the sand and that you seek impeachment against the executive branch for this attempt to undermine the Constitution of the United States of America, because that is what is going on. And America is truly teetering on the brink of full-blown dictatorship. And if America falls, then things are going to go in a very bad direction for the entire globe. And the only people who can stop this, truly, at this stage, are the citizens of the United States of America. And if it's done in the right way, all conflict can still be avoided. It really can. And even if conflict starts within the United States, and I'm sure it will be clear to the rest of the world that the people of the United States still hold the moral high ground. And personally, I believe there'll be a lot of help flocked to the United States from elsewhere in order to help and stand by the people. Of course, much of it will be spun by Western media. They'll always attempt to spin it in favor of the government, but I would suggest that most of the people around the world can see very clearly what's going on here, and they know where the true morals of the country lie. And that is not with the government, but rather with the people. And it's important to remember here, folks, that what we are seeing is the art of deception, the art of the elite, the art of control that's being implemented by government, by public trustees. Do we actually elect to do the very opposite of what they are doing? And some of the art of the system is to remove the personal art from the individuals that are forced to operate within the system. See, they've worked very hard to change the education system so that people within society don't view the world artistically. They've worked very hard to take your art away from you. That's been part of their art. That's how they do it, because that way it's very hard for you to look at the world the way they do, so it's very hard to comprehend their next move. It's very hard to comprehend how they view the world and how they plan their events. But they do it because it's an art form. It's like painting a picture. It's like you've got a stage or a model train set or a model village and you're just manipulating the pieces. It's like a big game to them. It's like manipulating reality by simple placement of certain pieces. And that's the way you do it, and that's the way they do what they do. And the reason a lot of people can't see it is because they've been trained not to think this way. they've had their own personal art removed from their lives, so they don't view their life as art. They view their life as something that's oh, gee, I've got to get this done, I'm on the treadmill, I've got to do this, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to take the kids to tennis, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. All this stuff which is completely meaningless. And it is. If you step back, most of the stuff that people do with their lives in order to achieve a certain rung on a social ladder or some form of hierarchy that they believe exists, most of it's fiction and most of it is completely unnecessary. Most of it's completely useless activity. It doesn't serve humankind. It doesn't serve you. It doesn't serve anything. It isn't any expression of art. It's simply a treadmill that people have been caught into. And it's the ability of the elite to be able to take this artistic view of the world away from people, which is really helped them to be able to control things the way they do, and has really helped them be able to hide the workings of the mechanism from the people, because people simply don't look at the world this way. But it's important that they do. It really is. And it's important that people pay attention to what's going on around them, because it's an incredibly important time to be alive. And we have not heard the last about Sandy Hook. The events of Sandy Hook are going to echo for a very long time. And it's important that people pay attention. It's important that people notice the inconsistencies in the news stories. It's important for people to look at it artistically, because it's important for people to understand the art of deception and how they are being played. Because, as I said, there is so much about Sandy Hook that doesn't make sense. But it's also very important that people use discernment when bringing the information to people. Because when you start suggesting to people that these are actors and that this was a staged event and quite possibly a wagging of the dog, then you need to remember that there are disinformation sites such as Wellaware One that have been put there for this specific purpose, just to muddy the waters, just to poison the well, just to make the whole thing sound ridiculous and make it appear to be unbelievable to the general public, for the new people who are just looking into this sort of stuff. Any hardened researchers will already know what is going on here and will understand why the disinformation is there, but a lot of the newcomers will not be noticing this. And you'll notice as well that on the news recently, we've seen news reports on CNN and NBC where they've been saying, oh, and there are people who are claiming Sandy Hook was a hoax, and there are websites that claim that they were all actors. So you can see the media, the mainstream media, now planting the seeds in people's minds so that they will go online and they will search for Sandy Hook actors, and they will come across sites like Wellaware One that will tell them that everybody is actors. And that is why this type of disinformation is put out there. So you've got to be very careful when you're presenting the information to people. Make sure you get your facts straight and let the people know that there is disinformation that's been put out there specifically to muddy the waters, because that's the way counterintelligence works. This is a really big moment for us, folks, and it's going to be a huge test to see how we come through this. But I believe if we use our discernment, if we remain true to facts and we point out the obvious to the people that we're talking to, then we will get through it. But we've got to be very careful in the way we do it. And we've absolutely got to stay vigilant about what the spin is telling people, because the media is spinning the whole story completely out of control. And they will continue to do so. And there's so many things about it. There's Emily Parker, the girl in the red and black dress who was apparently shot, and yet there's a picture of her later on in the day with President Obama. I mean, they're really stupid. They've been very sloppy the way they've done it. There's a woman whose name escapes me at the moment who has also claimed that her daughter's picture was stolen from Facebook and used as one of the children. There's also Gene Rosen, the allegedly friendly man who took the children in after the shooting started, and there's video footage of him actually rehearsing his lines previous to the news story. There's the interviews with the families, and these people are smiling and laughing and looking so happy, like they're remembering a lovely day meeting a pop star or something. not like they're talking about their six-year-old child who was brutally murdered the day before. If they are indeed parents, folks, they are androids who have no feelings. So this is all very contrived. I haven't actually seen one person with a tear on their face. Not one alleged parent have I seen crying over the death of their children. I mean, I've seen people pretend to be crying and do all the actions as if they were crying and if they were very upset. But in amongst it all, I haven't seen any puffy cheeks. I haven't seen even any red eyes. They've all been white, clear eyes, normal complexions and happy, smiling faces. I didn't see any tears on Obama's face when he was pretending to be crying. And there are so many holes in this case that once you begin looking into it, it just becomes apparent that it's a complete hoax and that it's a staged event specifically to attack the Second Amendment. And if you really look into it, you can see that a massive amount of preparation has been put in place in the last 2 years leading up to this event. The Well Aware One website, of course, being a very good example of this, but there's other things as well. It would appear that this has been at least 2 years in the making, and actually probably a lot more. Well, they probably planned it a long time before that, but they started the wheels in motion in preparation for it at least 2 years ago, or that's the way it would appear anyway. And folks, look, I'm not saying that no children died at Sandy Hook, because I'm not in a position to make that call. I mean, maybe children did die, but the question is, did they die in the way that we're told? Were they actually shot at the school, or were they used in some type of ritualistic sacrifice? Because, unfortunately, such is often the case. Many of these things are rituals. 9/11 was a ritual. If you look at the symbolism surrounding 9/11, it was absolutely a mass sacrifice ritual. Even the bombing campaign, the shock and awe campaign against Iraq, was a ritual. It was done on ritualistic dates, and it was done in a ritualistic fashion. And all wars are basically blood sacrifice rituals. This is why soldiers are required to wear sigils when they go into battle. This is what uniforms are, folks. The uniforms always contain things such as oak leaves, five-pointed stars, red ribbons. All of these sorts of things are occult symbols which dress a person up for sacrifice. You've got to have the right sigils, and you've got to be in the right place at the right time in order for the ritual to work. And that's why wars are staged in the places they are and on the dates they are. So these rituals do happen all the time, as far-fetched as it may seem to people. They do happen. And there's a good indication that that is what happened at Sandy Hook. So though there is a possibility that no kids died, I'm certainly not suggesting that such is the case. But what I am saying is that there are a lot of inconsistencies in the story. There's the attitude of the parents. There is the fact that Emily Parker appeared in pictures after she was supposed to be shot. There's the fact that the principal was reported to have made a statement and then was later reported to have been one of the ones shot. There's so many inconsistencies. There's the story of Gene Rosen, which is so full of holes and such an act, such an incredible act. And he's even told the story a few times now for different networks, and he's basically told a different story every time. For example, in the beginning, the bus driver that he said was standing with the children was a woman, and later on he's claimed it was a man. So it's changed so many times. Plus, his house is right next to the fire station, and yet he claims that he didn't know what was going on. And if you look at aerial shots of Gene Rosen's house right next to the fire station, and you look at the amount of cars that were parked there that morning and the amount of emergency vehicles that were in the area, how could you possibly not know what was going on? So there are a lot of holes and inconsistencies in this story, and I think it's important that people pay attention. And I'm certainly not claiming to know all the facts in the case, folks. All I know is that I smell a rat, and it's a really big one, and I see a lot of stuff that's been put in place in the last couple of years, which I believe has all been pointing to this event. I think that this is an incredibly significant event, folks, and people really need to pay attention, and they need to remain vigilant. They need to start viewing the world from a holistic, right-brained, artistic perspective, and above all else, they need to start connecting with their community. You've got to have strong communities to stand up against this system, folks, and it's important that you start building those bridges now if you haven't done so already. And by the way, folks, just as a matter of coincidence, there was also a FEMA emergency management training course being held at the Sandy Hook Fire Station right around the corner from the elementary school at the very same time as the shooting occurred. This was FEMA training course number L366, which was planning for the needs of children in disasters. And these FEMA training courses have been carried out at the Sandy Hook Fire Station since 2010. But of course, the fact that one of these just happened to have been in progress on the morning of the 14th of December when the Sandy Hook massacre was being carried out is just a matter of coincidence, folks, of course. Well, at least that's what we are being led to believe, if they've even bothered to mention the fact. But we find that there is drills at every major event, folks. 9/11, there was a drill going on that morning of exactly the same scenario. The 7/7 bombings in London, there was a drill going on that morning. At Oklahoma City, we had the tactical response team show up within minutes, wearing gear that takes them 20 minutes to put on. There were drills being carried out with the recent massacre in Europe. There were bomb drills being carried out that morning as well. And now we see a course or training or an exercise being carried out at Sandy Hook Fire Station right around the corner from the school on the very morning of this massacre. It's just the same old scenario, folks. By the way, did you know that there was also a training exercise being carried out in Aurora at the very time the Batman shooting occurred as well? But of course, a government spokesman assured us that this training exercise had been planned weeks in advance and just happened to fall on the same day as the Aurora event. It's all just one big coincidence, folks. I mean, you really would think that these people would at least attempt to be a little bit creative or maybe find a new script or something, because it's the same scenario. Every single time there's one of these tragic events happen, there's the same scenario. There's a training exercise, there's a failure to report facts, there's huge inconsistencies in the stories, and ultimately it results in more loss of rights for the people. And this happens like clockwork, folks, every single time. The art of deception, and it would seem that the powers that be are quite content to always paint the same picture. But again, I think an artistic approach to it all is what's needed. I mean, you can look at things a different way. Stop being so analytical, and don't get me wrong, I mean, analytical is good. It's good to be aware of this sort of stuff, but you can't just look at it from a left-brain perspective. You've got to open your mind, open your right brain, and look at it from an artistic perspective as well, because that's where the solution is too, because with this artistic understanding of yourself and your own expression in life comes great power. And with it comes the ability to be able to change the picture, because we are all capable of doing this. I believe that's actually what we're here to do. I think we're here to leave the world in a better state than how we found it. I think that we're here in order to paint the collective picture of the human psyche, to paint the picture of our history, of our existence, but we all have to participate in it. And that's why I wanted to focus so much on art during the show today, and perhaps suggest to people a different way of viewing what art is. I mean, even if you're a builder, that is your art. It may be your craft, but it is also your art. If you are a seamstress, that is your art. You know, however it is that you express yourself is your art. Whatever it is that makes you, the imprint that you leave on reality, that is your art. And I think that if we can start looking at things from this perspective and looking at things in this way, the whole overall picture becomes clearer. The whole picture of control, the whole system of enslavement that's been put in place on this planet, the central banking system, the whole lot, the GMO food, the transhumanist agenda, the whole lot, all becomes apparent, and it becomes a lot easier to see and a lot easier to understand when it's viewed from an artistic perspective. And that's why I've attempted to bring this perspective to you today. I just think it's important, folks, because as I said, this is a very, very significant time. And I think what happens in the next 12 months is going to be absolutely critical. Well, not even in the next 12 months, but even what happens in the coming weeks, I think, is going to be important. I think this is going to be an extremely significant year, the most significant year we've faced for a long time. Indeed, it is the beginning of a new age, folks, but it's going to be what we make it. So it's important that we realize this, and it's important that we get involved and that we participate. Now more than ever, it's important that we really do pay attention and stay vigilant. And when you see injustice in the world, regardless of where that injustice comes from, you need to start taking steps to address it. You really do, because it comes down to the individual. It always has. And there's millions and billions of us out here. And if we unite as one common species with one common goal, then it becomes an unstoppable force. And it's important to understand that it doesn't require a huge army of population marching to the Capitol. All it requires is for individuals to start planting seeds and making waves. Because if what you say is poignant, if it's eloquent, if it's said in a right way, it's said in a non-confrontational way, a way that is simply logic and common sense, and it's presented to the general population, then the penny will drop in a lot of these people's minds, and a lot of them will wake up. And it only requires one small voice to bring about a massive change, if that voice can reach enough ears. Every revolution in the past, and every great moment in history, in human history at least, has been brought about by the actions, ultimately, of the one small voice, the pebble that started the avalanche. And that's what we need, and I think that's what we're heading towards. And there are literally millions and millions of small voices now, and all of these voices are creating ripples, and the ripples echo and resonate throughout all of creation, throughout all life on this planet. They make waves in the pond, and these waves eventually reach the people who had no real desire to be awakened in the first place. But that's what little voices do, and that's what a pebble in a pond can do. We've heard about the butterfly effect, the concept that the flapping of a butterfly's wings could literally create a vortex that would turn into a hurricane on the other side of the planet. And we all have the potential to do that, folks. So that's what we need. We need the butterfly effect in what we do. We need to create these ripples so that these ripples can turn into huge waves, and these waves will rock the foundation of the corruption that currently controls our society. This is what we're doing, and I think that this is simply how we did it. And that's what is so important about this time, because this time is the time that we did it, the time that we do it. Shift does happen. All it takes is your participation. So get involved, my friends. That's all you really need to do. Well, we've reached the end of the show again, folks. That is it for me today. I'm completely out of time. Thank you again for joining me the way you do, and thank you for spending the time with me that you have in the past. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. It's very much appreciated. And remember, folks, that you do have the power to affect positive change. You need have no doubt of that. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Cache.